You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said unto the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And she said, wherefore wilt thou go to him that day? It is neither noon moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. And then she saddled an ass, and she said to her servant, drive, and go forward, slack not but riding for me, except I bid thee. And so she went and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Possibly no other person, including the minister, could have understood what was going on that day. The father understood that she was in need, and the mother knew there was one place to find an answer. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I'll simply entitle, The Recipe for a Great Mother. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us this day, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. Would you shake your neighbor's hand, especially if it's a mother, and say, hey, happy Mother's Day to you. If it's two guys, you don't have to do it. But of all the people in the world that influence us in life, whether it be ministers or whoever, even our dads, probably according to most statistical reference, you'll find that the mother has more to do with the shaping of the destiny of the world than anybody else. Many influence and play part in the building of character in children, but the nature of a mother's relationship places her in a position to greatly influence that child. Listen to what some great quotations of some of the great men of the past have said. Napoleon said, the future destiny of the child is always the work of a mother. But let France have good mothers, and she shall always have good sons. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am and ever hope to be, I owe to my angel, which was my mother. Those of you may not understand, but Abraham Lincoln's mother was a Pentecostal lady, and she believed in God and prayed, sought the face of God, and was involved in the great revival in Kentucky that actually began the Pentecostal movement in the mountains of northern Kentucky. And she helped that young man. John Quincy Adams said this, all that I am, my mother is what made me. Henry Ward Beecher said, the mother's heart is a child's schoolroom. And George Washington made this statement, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw, and I am and I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellect, and physical education I received from her. Amen. No matter what you say, these great men understood something that some people seem to forget. We're so busy watching your modern-day TV shows that act like the parents are nothing. Most of them, I don't know why, but, you know, if you go back in the 50s, our TV shows had parents that were somebody. Father knows best. You know, Leave It to Beaver, where you had strong parents and the kids respected them. In the 60s, you still had some pretty good stuff. Andy Griffin and some of those things where the kids respected their parents. Opie would have never looked at his dad and said, talk to the hand. Hello? I got news for some of you kids. My mama, you wouldn't have done that to her. You'd been fingerless after she got through grabbing them. Hello? I will never forget the one time I made the mistake of talking back to my mama. I was 18 years old, and when I woke up, I realized that what came out of my mouth was not the proper thing I should have said. And in case y'all think she mellowed in her older days, Alex come to me one morning, he says, Dad, Mama hit me with her cane. I said, son, she'll do that, but if you don't get close enough she can reach you, she can't do it no more. Lord. Hello? Amen. want to talk to you today about what makes a great mother. And when I talk about a great mother, I've got to talk about this lady, because if you read the scripture, the Bible said there came a time when Elijah went through the country of Shunem where was a great woman. Amen. Now, the Bible calls this a great woman. I mean, she was a woman that had a lot of things going for her. Amen. She was a woman that could accomplish things. If you read the Bible, you'll find out she was a woman that had faith, a woman that loved God. But she was a woman of hospitality. Amen. I don't know if you get this, but every time Elijah came through town, he had a place to stop and eat. That may not mean much to you, but I remember when I was an evangelist, there were certain towns I went to, I knew that I was going to get a good meal. Glory. There was a black lady in Luverne by the name, I didn't even really know her whole name, I just knew her as Miss Dolly. And every time I've ever gone to Luverne, I was informed I was eating at Miss Dolly's house, and nobody had to tell me twice that I needed to go to Miss Dolly's. I actually found reasons to find myself in Luverne and let Miss Dolly know I was going to be there. And I imagine Elijah went out of his way after he passed through a few times just to go to this place, because it got so eventful that his wife, this lady, finally told her husband, so let's just build a place on the house for him to have so when he comes he can stay over. And they built him his own room with a little porch, and he could come in and come and go as he pleased, like an evangelist quarters on their house. And she made him very welcome. And all of a sudden, one day, there came a time because of her faith that Elijah felt like she needed to be blessed. Amen. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, this woman was a woman, a virtuous woman. Amen. You know, a virtuous woman, according to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, and I think they're going to pop it up behind me, but you've heard it. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is above rubies. For the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need for spoil. Amen. So what are you talking about, preacher? A virtuous woman is a woman her husband don't have to worry about. He ain't got to have cheaters come and run film to find out what she's doing when he ain't there. Smile at me. And see, some of y'all going, preacher, what are you talking about? It is awesome when you have a lady that you don't have to worry about. That you get up in the morning and you ain't got to try to figure out what she got sneaking around doing while you ain't around. Come on, church. And a woman like that should be able to create in a man a trust so that he don't all the time try to look around and find something else either. Come on, church. I was reading something the other day about why marriages fail. One of the biggest problems is people, when they get married, don't understand that once you get married, you ought to go blind. I learned a long time ago, if I buy a car, the best thing for me to do is quit going to car lots. Some of y'all figure that out in a minute. Glory. I see somebody say, what's that got to do with marriage? It's the same way in marriage. Once I got married, I quit looking to see if I could find a better model. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. You say, now, preacher, does that really work? She will do him good and not evil in the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her goods from afar. She raiseth also while it is yet night, and give meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She consider a field and buy it. And the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arm. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hand to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for her house is clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry and her clothing of silk. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and deliver girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in a time to come. She opened her mouth of wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She look well in the ways of her household, and eat not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. For my daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and she shall let her own works praise her in the gate. That's what a real woman's all about. Come on, church. Amen. Glory. I had a guy tell me one time, said, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's what he talking about. He said, I'll never be able to forgive my first wife. I ain't never going to be able to make it. I said, dude, you're married. He said, I know. I said, you love your wife? He said, yeah. I said, then you ought to find that other woman and thank her you met a real woman. Y'all get that in a minute. Some of you are going, what if I was the other woman? I'm sorry. Glory. The wisest man that ever lived understood the influence a woman could have on his life. He remembered when his mom heard them trying to crown somebody else king, and she went to his husband and said, you promised me my son would sit on your throne and help Solomon attain the throne just before David died. And he understood that. He understood the virtues of a real mother. That's why while serving as king, and they brought two ladies to him, and one of them's son had died in the night. She swapped child with another lady, and the ladies came to him saying, we want our child. He looked at him and said, I got this great idea. We'll just cut the kid in half. And you can take one half, you can take the other half. And the other lady said, oh, no. You just give her the child and let it live. And he turned and said, no, we're going to give it to you because you're the real mama. Because the real mama would never let anything happen to the child. They would give it up rather than see it die. Amen. Come on, church. You know why? He understood the virtues of a real woman. Amen. This woman was also a godly woman. She was a woman that believed that God could do great things. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 16, and he said about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace the sun. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto this handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son. The season of Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. Amen. She looked past the failures of her life. She was old and wasn't supposed to have children. And all of a sudden, Elijah said, I understand you want a child. Because you have been a woman of God and you served God, God's going to give you the desire of your heart. Now, we got a lot of preachers today that tell you, oh, you just get the desire of your heart. Not if the desire of your heart is contrary to the word of God. If you are a godly woman living according to the word, you've hid the word of God in your heart, then the Bible said you will get the desire of your heart. But if you're really following God, your desires are going to be his desires. And you're not going to want a bunch of junk. Glory. Come on, church. That's good stuff. Amen. Glory. She was wanting a family because she wanted to raise a child. And the prophet said, I'm going to pray and you're going to have that child. Amen. Now, notice this. Even in times of great stress, she understood where to go. Now, I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but I think most of you ladies probably will. But when that baby was born, that's her baby. She's very proud of the fact she now got a baby. But at a very young age, her baby goes out to work with daddy, and most likely because of the way it's described, he had a heat stroke. He got too hot in the sun, he had a heat stroke, and his dad sends him to mom, and mom gets him back. He's sick, laying in her lap, and it said about an hour that child died. We have mamas today that's been praying for a miracle in their household for years. And because things hadn't gone the way they thought they ought to, or something happened that would try to discourage them, they've given up on that miracle. But look at this lady, this godly woman, who in a time of stress, when it looked like her miracle was gone and it looked like her blessing was gone, she took the baby, laid it on the man of God's bed, went to her husband and said, I need a donkey because I need to go see the man of God because I got to find out what's going on because I know this is my miracle and my miracle's not going to die. My miracle's not going away and I'm not giving up on the miracle because I know my God is able. And she gets on the donkey, goes to the man of God looking for an answer. Can I tell you, some of y'all need to quit giving up. You need to get back on your knees one more time and say, God, I am the mother of a house and I need a miracle and I'm not giving up on it today. Hallelujah. Glory. The Bible said she got on that donkey, and y'all noticed I changed the name. There's a reason for that. Amen. I got in trouble one time preaching what's in the scripture, and ever since that night she's rode a donkey. Glory. Y'all may summarize what I did, but I made a total fool out of myself in front of about 400 people. So she's riding a donkey from now on. Amen. She came to the man of God. When God saw her far off, told Gehazi's servant, "Behold, yonder's a Shunammite." He looks up and said, "Well, there comes that lady we like. She might be bringing us a picnic lunch." And some of y'all said, "Now, preacher, you're exaggerating." I'm a preacher, ain't I? Glory. Not that I'd exaggerate, but I know what preachers think when they see a woman that cooks for them showing up. Glory. Smile. Oh, some of y'all going, "Preachers exaggerate?" I never forget, Alex was with me one time. We were going home, and I told some story that night, and he looked up at me. He said, "Hey, Dad, was that really true, or was you just preaching?" He saw the lady coming. He looked at Hazel. I said, "Run now, pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And when Gehazi asked her that, she just looked at him and said, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God in the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. The Lord hath hid from me and hath not told me." Even when the sign said, "Give up," she kept believing. There had to be some way. She had the same faith Abraham had when he walked up on top of the mount with Isaac, fully intending to put him on a sacrificial altar and give him to God. But you ever notice the conversation he had with the men at the bottom of the hill? He said, "The boy and I are going to worship. Y'all stay here. We will return." You say, "What are you talking about?" He understood. This is my son of promise. This is my miracle. And I don't care what happens on that mountain, we're coming off that mountain together. And this lady went to the man of God, and she said, "It's well." You know why? Because I know somehow, some way, God's going to make this miracle work out, and this child is going to come back to life. The story is that Elijah goes back to the house. I got tickled one time. I was in a class on CPR, and according to that teacher, CPR was invented in the Bible. Because Elijah went to the room, laid down on the kid, blew in his mouth, and he come back to life. Glory. Amen. Of course, now they tell you you can't use your mouth in CPR. It's just hands only. And if you're even real scared, foot. The child came to life. Elijah sends for her, says, "Hey, take the child and go." The little boy was fine. Amen. He lived to be a ripe old age. How do you know? Because I read of him in history. But notice this, the third point, the woman led the son into a place of influence. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. "Then spake Elijah unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land for 7 years. The woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned to the land of the Philistines 7 years. God comes to Elijah and said, "You need to take care of your folks. There's going to be a drought." And he goes to this lady and he said, "Ma'am, you need to get your family to get out of here. It's fixing to get rough. There's not going to be any food. There's going to be a financial disruption. Everything's going out. You need to go where you can and find food." And she goes to the land of the Philistines, and she walks around and takes food for 7 years. She keeps her family together. Upon the return, she goes to the king. Listen, timing is everything. God's time is when you got to wait. See, some of y'all keep hollering about your dream. Realize Joseph had a dream. It took 27 years for it to come to pass, but it didn't stop it from happening. He just had to wait on the right time. Somebody say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Well, we got a lady here who has been given a word from God. Sojourn in the place you need to go. God's going to take care of you. Only she gets back and all her land is gone because somebody has consumed it, because they've been gone for 7 years and somebody's done gone over and took her land, took everything they own. And now we got a young man who's waiting to become the owner and the landowner so he can have influence in the world. And suddenly there's no land for him to have. We don't understand that, but even in the early parts of the United States, unless you were a landowner, you were nobody. Now, if you're a landowner, you're a taxpayer. Glory. Hello? But I remember going to Williamsburg, and we were there one time, and if you were not a landowner, you couldn't even be on a jury. You couldn't hold a public office. You couldn't vote. You couldn't sit in the front of the church. Because you didn't have influence. And here's a young man, even older than that, in many years before, who's in a land where if you don't own land, you're nobody. And all of a sudden he returns with his mother, thinking they're in the will of God, and they have nothing. And notice what happened, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 3. And it came to pass, the seventh year end, that the woman returned to the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elijah hath done. Isn't it amazing? The king sat there one day, looks over at Gehazi, and said, hey, that prophet Elijah used to work for, tell me some more of them preaching stories. Glory. Tell me about when y'all had some of them great revivals, some of that great stuff this guy done. Let's face it, church, he had a lot to tell him. Gehazi was with him in a whole lot of things. Come on, church. Y'all read your Bible? Gehazi was with him down in Dothan when they went to get him. And they thought they were outnumbered. And then all of a sudden he realized there were more angels for him than there were people against him. And that king said, I said, tell me some more of them preacher stories. I want to hear them. He said, well, one time there was this lady that my master prayed for, and she had a child, and the child died, and he brought the child back to life. And he said, that's awesome. And about that time, the lady goes to the king and says, I need to talk to you. And Gehazi says, hey, that's the kid. Tell me I don't have a God knows how to put things together. Gehazi is rehearsing the story to the king, and about that time he said, the very person I'm talking about wants a vision with you. Amen. And all of a sudden she walks in and starts to talk to the king. And it came to pass, they're telling the king how he restored the dead body to the life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, the woman, this is the son whom Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruit of the field since the day that she left the land until now. Hello? All of a sudden, this boy now is a man of land. He has influence. He is someone that has a life. Because mom stood up for him, and mom had a connection. Hello? There were three questions that was asked her that helps us make it. Could you say amen? When she's running up to the man of God, the prophet's helper spoke three words to her. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Mama, I want to ask you a question today. If you were in a fix right now and needed God to help you, and you were headed to the man of God, what would your answer be to these questions? Somebody said, now wait a minute, preacher, it's not my responsibility. My husband's not a Christian. That makes it all your responsibility. And I know some of you sitting there saying, well, you need to get in the real world. I am. I am sick of politically correctness. It tells me that I've got to do different from what this book says. This book says that you should be married to a priest, but if you don't have one, you become the priest. And I have women tell me, my husband won't come to church. You know, Eve used something to pull Adam away from God. And every one of you women got the same thing to pull your man back to God. Hello? I'm going to say, well, you a man, you don't know. I've been living with a woman for 37 years. And I ain't dumb as some of you think I am. My wife starts in, you're a good husband. You're a good provider. You're a good daddy. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm fixing to do something. I mean, she started that one time. I went in and put the sawhorses out in the front yard. I said, I don't know what you want, baby, but I'm at it. Glory. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. The same thing that motivates me is the same thing that helps me motivate God. I start talking to him, oh, you're a great God. You're an awesome God. Oh, you're a wonderful provider. You are the lifeblood of my house. You are the one that picks me up in the morning. One gives me joy. One that gives me peace. And the next thing you know, God's over there cutting a desert out, making me a river in the middle of it so I can go out there and swim and have a big time. Why? Because he's God, and he gets motivated just like I do. Amen. And you know what? A woman can motivate her husband like never before. And I know somebody saying to that preacher, you're crazy. Every woman can't win their husband. You know, there was a lady at Perdita Church of God who fought after her husband for 23 years. And we was in revival down there one time. And the guy come through the back door, walked down the front of the church. And I honestly thought he come to whoop her, me, and the preacher too. And he goes right by me, jumped the thing and said, get over here, preacher. I need to get baptized. I got saved a while ago. I couldn't take it anymore. Amen. Glory. Preacher looked at me and said, man, I got on a good suit. And I said, I don't. I'll baptize him. I jumped the thing, went in there with him. Glory. Amen. I said, we're getting this and while the getting's good. Glory. Church, the reality is we need to understand mothers have obligations to God. We have obligations to our families. And I know no matter how hard you try, there's some things you can't do. But you can continue to pray and you can continue to call on the name of God. I've told this many times, but I'll never forget when my grandmother used to come to the house in the middle of the night. It never failed. We'd all go to bed. Y'all got to understand something. There were times at my house when I was a young man that there would be 20, 25, 26 people in the house. We'd have 3 bedrooms. We'd be scattered all over the place. There'd be blankets rolled out and I remember one of them little folding lawn chairs that used to lay down. I used to have one of them. That's what I slept in. Oh. All my brothers and them would come home, and my grandmama and granddaddy would be there, and we'd all be in that house, packed in like sardines, trying to sleep. And I don't know if it's because I was young enough that I was the least of the heathens, but I was usually the last one to wake up. And it never failed that in the middle of the night, that woman would get in there and get up and start praying. Now, she didn't pray out loud. She didn't bother people. You know, she didn't get in the middle of the night going, oh, God, save these heathens. My daddy probably would have shot her and went back to bed. She would get up beside the bed, and you couldn't hear a single word coming out of her mouth. But it never failed. Every time they were there, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I'd walk down and look in the bedroom, and Mamie would be there like this. And I'd go out the back door, and they'd stand my brothers and my uncle and my daddy, and they'd say, might as well go fishing. You ain't even going to be able to sleep in the barn with that woman around here. Lord. And we'd load up, go to the river, and go fishing. We didn't care if we caught anything. We were just getting away from that woman. Lord. She was a woman of prayer. She was a woman who believed in God. She was a woman who believed in miracles. One of the last things I heard her pray for was me. I didn't realize I'd get saved the next week. But I never got away from hearing her call my name out and say, God, would you save Rascal? And y'all have heard me tell this story, but that particular morning she's praying for food and every bit of it showed up, just like she prayed for. And she said, if you could find a way to send him some chocolate milk. I remember my cousin was sitting there, and I'd been making fun of her. He done got out of bed afraid he was going to get hit with lightning. And he looked over at me and said, you're crazy. I said, look, she's praying for milk. We ain't even got to wait. The milkman just went by. I jumped up, run out on the front porch, and there were the 2 quarts. You remember the glass jars of milk with a little cardboard top on it? There was them 2 cartons of milk she always got right in the middle of it. It was a carton of chocolate milk. I looked at my cousin. I said, oh, man. I grabbed that milk. I took off down the road chasing the truck. I caught him. I jumped up in the corner of that truck and said, hey, you left this milk at Miss Malone's house back up yonder. Did you leave bags? He said, no, sir. There was a guy on the corner
said to leave it there, that her grandson needed some milk. I walked all the way back to the house. I got back and I looked at my cousin. I said, Lomer done went down and bought this milk. We set up. He said, Lomer's in the bed asleep. I went, oh, man. Because he was. He was in the room we was in. He was laying over in the bed, sound asleep. Lomer's my granddaddy. And don't think that's disrespect. I just don't want to get whipped when I get to heaven because they may be listening. And you never call them Pawpaw or Grandma. It was Mamie and Lomer. I made a mistake of calling her granny one time, and I got up off the floor, and it never came out my mouth again. I walked in the kitchen. That milk was sitting there. My cousin said, you going to drink it? I said, get some. It's okay. He poured some in a glass. He drank it. He didn't die, so I got some. I wasn't taking no chances. But the influence that woman had on me. My dad, a backslid preacher, was afraid of her prayers. My grandmother died at an early age, but she left an indelible mark in my life and every one of us that knew her, because she was a woman of God and a virtuous woman. And a lot of what I am today, it's from the base I picked up from her and from my mom and the life they taught me and the things they taught me. And I believe today we got God calling for women to become mothers again. Napoleon, as horrible a man as he was, had the right idea. If France has good mothers, France will always have good sons. Would you stand with me all over the house? And I want you to ask yourself a question today as we close out this service. If you were to stand in the presence of God and God was to say to you, is it well with you? What would you say? Is it well with your husband or your household? What would you say? Is it well with your child? What's your answer? Realize that God still hears and answers prayer. And no promise of God has ever gone unfulfilled if we keep praying and believe in the power, the grace of Almighty God. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. God, I believe you today to reach down and touch this house with the power, the grace, the glory of your holy anointing. Move on us today, Father, with your love, with your presence, and with your glory. And God, we be careful to give you all the praise and the honor that we receive from you. In Jesus' precious name, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.